Uh-oh. Hugh, you know what this means. When we hit that Titanic music.
Wait a minute. Who is this for?
Well, maybe the Eagles.
Nah.
All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We'll get back to all your phone calls on the Phils. Rob Thompson, I think it needs to be great for the Phillies to win the World Series. Not just like hanging out in the dugout, writing a lineup out, card out, and just saying, we'll see you tomorrow. He's going to affect a lot of these games. It's going to be a tightrope walk for Topper, and he better be great. Last night, not so great. His moves did not work last night as the Phillies lose to the Nats. Unfortunately, not the only loss in Philadelphia sports yesterday. Elliot Shore Parks, listen to him on the afternoon show, not pulling any punches, describing what he saw at training camp with the Eagles-Browns joint practice.
Today was a blowout by the Browns. Like, wow. The Browns won this practice considerably more than the Eagles won their practice yesterday. And I think for the 2 days overall, the Browns outplayed the Eagles. And I thought there was a stretch of practice today that really kind of showed what the day was like. So the first one, Joe Flacco versus the Eagles' first-team defense. Jerry Jeudy beats Quinyon Mitchell for about a 15-ish, 20-yard slant over the middle, takes it in for a touchdown. So that's on one field. Then on the field next to that, the Eagles' first-team offense is going against the Browns' first-team defense. Jalen Hurts drops back, throws it to Devontae in the corner of the end zone, knocked out by Denzel Ward, incomplete. Back to the other field. Joe Flacco drops back. Touchdown to Njoku in the front corner of the end zone. So that's a touchdown. Then the Browns go for two. They get that with some trick play where they had like a double reverse and the guy ran it in. The Browns were the better team today. They outplayed the Eagles, and I thought they brought more energy than the Eagles did. Like, I have seen the Eagles practice against the Browns 2 days in a row. It happened in 2023. 2023, I thought the Browns won day one, but the Eagles came back in day two and dominated that second practice. I thought the Eagles would come out today with a better performance, and they did not have a better performance.
Hit the music.
I love Elliot, man.
August 15th.
Live your truth, L.
We are sinking. All right, Hugh, let's... So yesterday we had a discussion about Jalen Hurts specifically, right? This is now more about the team. And yesterday my point was, Jalen's not having a good camp. This is a big deal to me. I want him to be playing better. They're going to need him to play well. And then people, you know, gave their opinions on Jalen in particular. Hugh, what do you make in general, right? So in general, training camp. And the joint practices are, and when they really do the 11-on-11, it's the closest thing we get until the regular season, right? Because they don't put the starters out there in the preseason games.
I totally agree.
So yesterday, and I want to make sure, because we had a caller yesterday, Hugh, that said, well, you're just using Elliott's opinion. There's other people out there. So I want to read one thing and then give your take. Brandon Lee Gouton, Eagles training camp practice notes. Browns dominate the day. I saw also Jeff McClain of The Inquirer. You were on his podcast, weren't you? Didn't you on Jeff's podcast?
Yeah, we made friends.
Oh, good. That I like that. Jeff McClain wrote this in his column this morning. Quote, I don't want to make a bigger deal out of practice than necessary. The Eagles have done a pretty good job the last several seasons despite having some of their lighter camps in the NFL. They've won without playing their starters in the preseason. But scrimmages with other teams have foretold how their seasons would go since Nick Sirianni became the head coach. The Eagles mostly dominated the New England Patriots a year ago. They had mixed results against the Browns and Colts in 2023. They outplayed the Browns and Dolphins in 2022, and they were better than the lowly New York Jets in 2021. So Brandon Lee Gouton from Bleeding Green Nation says Eagles got dominated yesterday. Jeff McClain says something very similar to what Elliot always says, which is that the joint practices have kind of told the story of what's to come. When they dominate them, they dominate the season. When they struggle a little bit, it's been more of a slog. So make sure everyone knows it's not just Elliot saying this. Other people are there. Very similar people, you know, very similar reporters saying the same thing at a camp. Hugh, how much does this all matter? Does the way the Eagles look in training camp matter?
And I want to throw another person's name out there. Sal Palantonio.
There you go.
Was reporting that as well. The Eagles struggled in practice yesterday.
It was pretty, yeah, it's everyone there is pretty much the same.
I look at it like this. There's a lot that goes on in these practices that we are not privy to. To be totally honest, and that's not an excuse, that's just what it is. And you have to understand where the Browns are coming from. The Eagles are here, as I you know, use visual aids on a radio show.
Well, for the U people.
Yeah, for the U people. The Eagles are here. The Browns are trying to get to the Eagles level.
So, and they're far away.
they're far away. Yeah. But I will tell you this. When we were starting our journey to become a relevant team, the Philadelphia Eagles, that is, not the Jets, but you go into seasons and you use certain teams as measuring sticks. Mm-hmm. you know, to see where you are and see how much better you can be. That's what the Eagles are now. I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody that the preseason doesn't matter. But I will say this. There's a lot that happens in the preseason, in these practices that are not scripted. They're not game planned for. And so it's one of those things where you look at it and the fans want to know what's going on at practice. And that's Elliott's job. That's Sal's job. That's every writer out there's job is to tell the people what they see at practice. And they do a great job of doing that. But I'm here to tell you, as a former player, a lot of times these practices aren't game plan. And a lot of times they want to see how players act or respond in adverse situations. You know, some of it's probably just, you know, hey, let's just let them play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to run some stunts in this drill. We're not going to tell you when they're happening. Because they try to simulate live action as much as they possibly can. So that's not me saying that it's not important. That's me telling you that there's a lot that is not prepared for in these practices.
So I understand that. And it's a small sample, right? It's not a full game. They go, I think there was like 5 or 6 periods of 11 on 11. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get a couple of bad ones or you have a bad block or someone throws a pick and then the whole thing looks bad. I get that. I would feel better, though, if the Eagles beat up the Browns yesterday. Like, the Browns supposed to be bad. In fact, I this is a week where there's a lot of joint practices around the NFL, right? The teams that are playing each other this week, a lot of those teams will do the joint practice.
Yes.
One of them that's going on this week around the same time as the Eagles is there's a Dolphins-Lions game this tonight or tomorrow, whatever, right? So they did a joint practice, and mm-hmm. I was reading about that practice. And if you just look at those two teams, you would think, all right, the Lions are a Super Bowl contender, Dolphins not so much. It played out that way. I was reading all the reports this morning. It was like the Lions just dominated the Dolphins. They crushed them. Their defense looked good. Goff looked good. Now, again, doesn't mean that that's going to play out that way during the season, but that's what you'd expect. The Lions should beat the crap out of the Dolphins. They're yeah. better. We didn't get that yesterday. And I guess, for me, my antenna is up. I'm not trying to say the Eagles season is canceled or Jalen Hurts is going to have a good season, but my antenna is up. I just want someone that's there every day. Jeff McClain, Brandon Lee Gowton, Shiel Kapati, I like them all. Elliott's our guy here. Someone to tell me the Eagles look great. Jalen Hurts looks great. They're firing all cylinders. Nobody's telling me that. So does this matter? I think for everyone it probably matters a different amount. But yeah, it matters. The Eagles are getting ready to defend their championship. They have questions. And it seems like a lot of their question marks, passing game, corner, safety, edge rusher, they remain questions as we get close to regular season. And by the way, 3 weeks from today, we're reacting to the first game. There's not 6 weeks to go. We're not far away from the start of the regular season here. 215-592-9494. Kyle, where do you come down on all this? As the Eagles, as you heard, got blown out by the Browns yesterday.
I'm appalled that Hugh Douglas is trying to sugarcoat this.
A company man?
Blown out by the Browns, Joe?
Blown out.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to recover from this. It's a disaster.
Cancel the season?
I'm starting to have some serious concerns. Mm. But honestly, like I do find it funny that when we hear stuff about how they're not playing well, I think a lot of people tend to go, "Wow, you know, whatever, it's just training camp, yeah. don't matter, you know." But if they were playing well, people would be revved up, ready to go for the season. Like, oh man, the offense is smooth. This is great. Yep. Dion's picking up the stuff from the new offensive coordinator. Like, I think people would be happy. I'm with you. Like, I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to I would rather hear that they look good.
Yeah. And I do think it's, you know, you could take this with a grain of salt. You could say it's only been 4 years or 5 years of sample. Jeff, in his Inquirer column, wrote the same thing Elliott says us all the time. The years their practices have looked better have been the years they've gotten to the Super Bowl. The years they have been more choppy in training camp, 21 and 23, are the years they have not been as great. I mean, that resonates to me, that the years they have been more buttoned up in training camp tend to end up the years they ended up in the Super Bowl with Sirianni. Again, it's only 4 years. If this plays out over 10, that's a larger sample. But, Hugh, I at least think that's interesting, that the years they've looked better in camp under Sirianni, it's worked out that they've had great seasons. And the 2 years where it's been more like this, it hasn't been as great.
Can I say this without being accused?
Nope. Absolutely not.
Because this is the reality.
Absolutely. No, go ahead.
Think about it like this. And this is not an excuse. This is just a fact.
Mm-hmm. Let me write this down.
The Eagles training, their offseason wasn't as long as the Cleveland Browns, right? So the Browns are coming in probably a little bit fresher. Not an excuse. This is a fact.
No, I think this is real, yeah.
And I remember before training camp even started, we would have conversations, Joe, and I said, I would not be surprised if the Eagles got off to a slow start. And I forgot what you said exactly, but you was like, that's you would that would be unacceptable.
Totally unacceptable.
Because of the schedule that we have.
Well, so, yeah, but the schedule's hard early on.
But that's the reality of it. Yeah. Just think about it like this. Mm. And again, this is not an excuse, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be killed on YouTube and you people,
you people
about making excuses.
Come on, get them.
They just got their Super Bowl rings like 4 days before they went to training camp. That was the mantra going in. Hey, put it behind you. Like, you're trying to get, what, 70 people, 80 people, 90 people to all row in the same direction?
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of guys that row in that direction, but then you're going to have some guys that are still trying to get caught up.
So am I? So what do we do if in 3 weeks, what is it, 20 days from now, they come out flat against the Cowboys?
They're not losing to the Cowboys.
Well, I don't think so either.
But
the Cowboys are better than the Browns.
But,
the Cowboys, right? We know that.
But
they have a real quarterback.
We'll see.
But it might be a slog. I can't wait to see Shaq run down the street in this dress that he said he's going to wear. Because he's wearing that dress.
Yeah, I would like
not to see that.
It's just me.
If anybody knows Shaq, clip this and send it to him. Big fella, you wearing a dress. You going to wear that dress because that's what you want to do. And we're going to make your wish come true. Because you said what he said twice. He said something about wearing a dress. So, yeah. Big dog, we going to put you in a dress. Because they're not losing the Cowboys now.
Excuse
me. It might be a little bit of a slog. Because it might get off. They might get off to a slow start.
Yeah, I need a win in that game. But
they're going to get a win.
All right,
they're going to get a win.
Kyle said something. I think I said something similar towards the end of the show yesterday, specifically about Hurts. If Hurts or the offense were lighting it up, you know, we would... It would, like, I think it's hypocritical to say it doesn't matter when I think the reaction would be, look how good they look. They're going to be the best team in the NFL again. Jalen's going to take that next step.
You idiots, best quarterback in the league.
What we saw at the end of last season, the Super Bowl and title game, that was just the beginning. But now it doesn't matter because they're not playing well.
Nah.
Again, it's the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they might be the worst team in the sport. I like Joe Flacco, but let's be real. I mean, Joe Flacco should not be moving the football on the Eagles defense. He's 40.
Yeah.
His kid said he's trash. Richie followed him in the bathroom. I mean, like,
you know, football's back when Hugh Douglas is trying to sugarcoat a blowout.
I mean, did you
hear, Ellie? Can we hear the beginning again? They got blown out by the Browns, Hugh.
Today was a blowout by the Browns. Like,
we need to say that as a drop. Today was a blowout by the Browns. All right, 215-592-9494. Does training camp matter? I mean, yesterday we spoke about Hurts specifically, but just in general, the Eagles didn't play well in the joint practice against the Browns, according to everyone, not just Elliott. Does it matter? It does matter to me. Now it's levels of mattering, right? It doesn't matter as much as a week 5 loss to the Broncos. It does matter. I want the Eagles to look as good as they can at all times, and right now they're clearly not where they need to be. He was trying to give us perspective. We call it excuses here.
Sugarcoating a blowout, dude. Yeah. A blowout, Douglas.
Again, it wasn't close. You can't say it was a play or two here or there. It was a blowout.
Man, listen, the one thing that I know not to do
blowout
is when we get like this
uh-huh.
to push back too much because it's just going to get ridiculous.
Well, look, you know what? Maybe this will be the turning point, just like the Browns game last
year. Last year, the turning point, and they go off and they run the table. Southbound and down.
When did the Eagles season turn around in 2025? Well, the blowout to the Browns in August.
Of course. You got to admit, though, that was a strong take.
I love it. When I heard it, it hit. They got blown out today. Of course, Elliot with his reaction to practice. All right, your phone calls here. And it is a Tri-Day Friday on the Midday Show, giving away today a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League and we need help for John Johnson. That's what you're trying for today. Tri-Day Friday, we need a snack of the night for John Johnson.
You need to be creative with some of these
snacks. I mean, John's down to celery, so clearly anything probably would be more creative than celery. We're helping John Johnson out. Snack of the night. Our first response was Terrence with a toasted peanut butter and jelly, which you just... swatted
yeah,
away.
You crapped on that
you
one.
You did.
Man.
But I didn't do him like TK did him.
Well, no
I
one would do it like TK did it. I mean,
TK, now you talk about somebody getting pooped on TK.
That was messed up.
Do you think WIP was nominated for a Marconi Award? Should we send the audio of TK trying to get Terrence off the air as our submission audio?
Radio.
Yeah, if we send that, I think we win this thing. Let's go to Kay in Cherry Hill. What's up, Kay?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
you know what? I watched that game last night and I felt like if Robertson managed the eighth, we would come back and win it. I mean, you can't get mad at Trey. He had a good game, almost died on that last at bat. But, you know, the other caller, he kind of was right on pace with where I'm at. You know, Dombrowski's inconsistency is showing. He didn't make the moves. He didn't get the pieces. And the fact that he's not playing Bader every day makes the trade line move look a little silly. And, you know, you can't judge. We're a playoff team. You can't judge a playoff team during the regular season. We're going to the playoffs. But if the Mets weren't a total disaster, you know how bad we would look right now? So, you know, we put a lot of weight on the pitchers. The bottom line is our bats are inconsistent. We got a lot of unathletic guys with inconsistent bats, and Topper has to be excellent. You did this whole platoon thing, and hopefully it doesn't come back to bite you in situational at-bats during the playoffs because, you know, other teams are looking at that where these guys aren't seeing, you know, both sides, pitchers from both sides. So I definitely think Topper is going to have to be on his A game. But again, I just think Dombrowski kind of pigeonholed us.
Dombrowski made it so Topper's going to have to be so important, Kay. He kind of put him in this. I could just, if I fast forward in my mind, I can imagine every day in October that they're still playing in the playoffs. We come in here after the game and we're either saying, wow, what a great job by Topper, pinch hitting Kepler, taking him out, putting that pitcher in, getting Ranger out this time, or the opposite. We're going to say, Topper blew it last night. He left Luzardo in, you know, three pitches too long and they lost the game.
Totally agree. It's going to be a chess game all the way through. And the bottom line is, you know, we can look at everything about this team. If these bats are not consistent, we do not have a chance. But I do want to make my ploy for the fantasy.
All right. What do you got for us? Give us a snack of the night that we can suggest to John Johnson. Because clearly he's running out of ideas with celery here.
Okay. Yeah, celery's a little wild. I'm going to go with the dried mangoes. Those things are the best. You got to get the green ones, not the orange ones. The dried mangoes.
That's a little better.
Are the ones.
Dried mangoes, the green ones. All right, Kay.
The dried mangoes.
Dried mangoes, yeah. No, I know. Dried mangoes. I guess you could fry mangoes, but I know. I wrote down dried mangoes. You ever dried mangoes?
Is he talking about the chips?
What?
Well, he hung up, right?
Yeah.
Mom and they have.
Go ahead.
They got mango balls.
Excuse me?
Dried green mango balls.
I've only seen it more in the chip variety.
I'm not lying. I just want to, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd eat those.
The mango balls.
I'm out on that. I think it more of like a strip or a chip. You showing the U people?
I'm pointing to U people. Yeah. But the QR, I guess the code came up to get mango balls.
All right. So dried mango as the second submission. Phil in Delaware is up talking about the importance of camp and these joint practices. What's up, Phil?
Hi, how are you?
Good, Phil. What's up?
I think that the preseason results against the Browns don't matter, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The Browns are a bad team. And when you're a bad team, the only thing you have hope for is that you can play well in the preseason. I'll give you an example. I'm from Dallas, former Dallas fan. Jimmy Johnson came in. He killed in the preseason. You know how many games they won in the regular season? One against the Skins. One total. So if you're a bad team, the only thing you have to play for is the preseason, because in the regular season, you're going to get killed.
So I understand your point, Phil, but last year they did the Patriots. That was their joint practice last year. The Patriots were one of the worst teams in the NFL last year, and the Eagles beat them up. They dominated them when they played them in training camp. So I understand your point, but that didn't work last year.
But the thing is, the Patriots have such a franchise that they don't have to win preseason games to get anybody to show up during the regular season, right?
Right, but I don't think the Browns aren't getting anyone to show up to their games based on yesterday. The point is they scrimmaged. They played head-to-head, and it wasn't lopsided in favor of the Eagles. Whether or not that is a huge deal or not, it is pretty notable,
Phil.
They
did just blow out the Super Bowl champs.
I mean, they blew them out. You heard Elliott say it.
So that's what they're talking about in Cleveland. Right, and we're talking about the Browns had a great performance with Flacco, you know, and also you don't know what Sirianni is doing. Like it goes from season to season. Like one season you might have everything in place and you don't do anything. One season you're really looking to get some players going, so you're going to try really hard in preseason. I just don't care about
Phil, I don't agree with the idea of they're trying hard, Phil. These joint practices, they are trying. Now, they may be working on certain things or putting a different play in. But the idea the players are half-assed in it, I don't agree with that, Phil. They're trying.
That's not the case.
Yeah, they're not half-assed. Phil, I just want to ask you this, because you seem like you don't think it really matters at all. Do you not see any sort of pattern here? I mean, Elliott has said this over and over, and Jeff McClain, I'm reading from his column in front of me. In the last 4 years, their two Super Bowl years, they looked great in these forums. When they did these joint practices, they dominated. And then the 2 years where they were not as great, it was more like yesterday. That doesn't resonate at all?
No, I heard that, and that's a good point. I mean, I have to say that, look, I really don't like the preseason. I don't like the preseason. I don't place any stock in the preseason, right? I'll watch a preseason game, but I don't place a lot of stock in it.
Yeah, and I think
that's a good point.
Yeah.
But that's a good, I mean, he brings a good point.
Yeah,
they look good, the two Super Bowls.
Right, and I think there's and Phil, good phone call. I think there is a difference between the preseason games versus joint practices. The preseason games, you're mixing and matching who's playing their ones. Right? Like last week, we saw the Bengals, and they ran down the field on the Eagles, and the Eagles weren't playing Jalen Carter, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you can kind of take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah,
okay?
That one, definitely.
But in these practices, they line it up here where the ones play the ones. The twos play the twos. So you could take almost a little bit more out of this than even the preseason games.
It's good work. Yeah. It's really, really good work. And you hear the guys talk about that.
Yeah, and I think the coaches almost think of it as better work than the preseason game.
Yeah, because it's the ones actually getting some burn and everything. So I see Elliott's concern. But again, I've never been in a joint practice, but I would assume that if there's some game planning done, it's not extensive game planning. It's like, okay, we got Myles Garrett. He plays, defensive end and the rest of the guys and a breakdown of what their strengths and their weaknesses are. But it's not nothing extensive as far as like down and distance, what right. They like to run and things of that nature and what we want to run against it. I don't think it's any of that.
215-592-9494. We're trying to help out John Johnston today, who was running out of snacks teeth. I mean, the guy had celery for snack of the night this week. Give us a better suggestion. Best answer we get for a suggestion for John Johnston's snack of the night. Best one today wins a spot in the midday show, Fantasy League. We're doing a live draft. You'll be in the league with us September 3rd, Wednesday, September 3rd. And we're doing the draft at McGurk's in Roersford that evening. If you could be there live, get in and try to win a spot in the league. Calls on all this, the joint practices, the Eagles training camp. Does it matter that pretty much across the board, people think they didn't play well against the Browns yesterday? We heard they were blown out. Does this matter? Matters to me. Plus, a very interesting comment from Lane Johnson about his future and the Phillies. Does Topper need to be great for the Phillies to win the World Series? 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, I know I'm not a part of this, Joe, but I would like to offer a suggestion for John Johnson for snack of the night. How about a tasty cake? Think about it. Mouth-watering candy cakes have a creamy layer of peanut butter filling on top of a delicious cake and enrobed in a delicious chocolate coating. And let's talk about the crimpets. I like those crimpets. Uniquely shaped fluffy cake topped with a delectable layer of smooth and subtle butterscotch icing. They're a home run every time. Whether you're rooting for the Phillies in the stadium or from home, make sure you got only the best treats on deck. Tasty cake, accept no substitutes.
Come on, big guy.